1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to just continue on where we have been and picking up and going a little bit deeper than we were last week. And this title of my sermon today is Prepare Your Chariots. Prepare Your Chariots. And I'm going to want you to lean in as we dive into this, because I want to tell you something and share something with you that I don't want you to forget as we move forward in this year, as we continue to reclaim everything the devil has stolen from us, because there's some parallels between this text and what's going on in our world right now. Amen. So I want to give you the context a little bit about what I'm going to share, a little bit of background. At the writing of this text, the nation of Israel was a divided nation. They had been taken over by people who hated the God of Israel and were worshiping a false god named Baal. Now, Baal wasn't your typical religion. It wasn't like Islam or Judaism or Christianity. Baal was a thrown together variety, if you will, of mystical, theoretical, strange beliefs that they kind of just pieced together. But those who would follow it, they demanded absolute devotion to that theology. And the main aspect of Baal is that they would worship many kinds of idols. They would bring just all kind of weird and strange stuff into the equation. But the main effect that it had is it was designed to create chaos and darkness and evil against order in the world. And at this time and in this writing, kings and politicians and queens were all caught up in this theology of Baal and worshiping the god of Baal. Now remember, this came out of Israel. So Yahweh, the Lord, the Messiah, had been their God for a long period of time. But somewhere along the way, they begin to get seduced by trends and ideas that like kind of just caught on and begin to replace the theology of the Messiah. Come on. I'm preaching about them and I'm preaching about now. So these kings and politicians, they all get caught up in it and they begin to appoint into leadership roles in government people who really weren't qualified to be in the roles, but because they were big on Baal, they put them in these high positions so that they could just keep this doctrine going. And for example, and whether you have heard it from the Bible, you've probably heard it in slang about an evil woman in the Bible found in 1 Kings whose name was Jezebel. Even if you're not a Bible follower, I'm sure you've heard that name come up in slang before. And Jezebel had no credentials to be in any level of authority in the Bible. She had no reason to be in charge, but she brought all kind of crazy havoc when she came into power. And she brought all kind of craziness to the nation of Israel. And it was, and I mean, a bloodbath when she came into power. She ruled without restraint. And I'm saying all this to you because I believe that there's a spirit of Baal that has been loosed on our world today. Strange, theological, deceptive, mystical beliefs that are just kind of conjured up and thrown together. Things like Marxism and wokeism, come on, all designed and created to create chaos and darkness and evil in God's world. All assigned by the spirit of darkness to disrupt civil order and family order and financial order. And this spirit runs rampant and it propagates and creates chaos and devastation in people's lives. So that's a snapshot of what's happening in 1 Kings chapter 18. And then on top of all of that, they were in the middle of a 4-year famine. So you have all these weird doctrines, all this chaos, all this evilness, the king's wicked, the queen's wicked, it's just terrible. And in the middle of all of that, they have a 4-year famine. However, how many of you know in the midst of evilness and chaos that God always has a remnant? Come on, just shove your neighbor and say he's got a remnant. If you're at home, you can just yell it across the house. I don't know, do something. But the prophet Elijah visited the king whose name was Ahab, and he makes this statement to him, and they're gonna have this kind of show off, this fine. The remnant is coming out, the prophet Elijah comes out, and he says, all right, enough is enough of this craziness. We're gonna put your theology and your God to the test. So he says, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna gather on the mountain. I'm gonna give you every opportunity to call on the power of your God. Do what you gotta do, say what you gotta say. Let's see. And when you're done, I'm gonna call on the power of Jehovah, Yahweh. And we'll see what happens. The story would go to say that the prophets of Baal would dance and they would cut themselves and they were throwing themselves on fire and doing all kind of crazy stuff to get their God to respond, and he never responded. He never answered. So here comes the prophet Elijah, and he says, you know what, get some water and pour it on the wood. I love that. I love the boldness of that, because I would be like, God, just please show up. He had such confidence in the power and ability of his God that he said, go ahead and wet the wood. Like, go ahead and make the situation worse than it currently is, just so. How many of us, we run from problems and circumstances, right? And here's the prophet saying, make it as worse and bad as possible. Make it be almost impossible for this wood to ignite. Come on, how many of you know, if we begin to just wanna live lives that give God glory, come on, he'll get glory out of every situation. That's why the apostle said, I count it all joy when these trials and things fall upon me. Why? Because it'll prove the goodness and the glory of God. Go ahead and wet the wood. Well, the story goes on that fire fell from heaven. Now the prophet Elijah visits the king whose name was Ahab. And he tells Ahab, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Now there wasn't a cloud in the sky. The ground was dry, the ground was parched. There had been no real rain for weeks, months, maybe even years. And here's the prophet of God forecasting rain. Last week we declared over you and over this house that we are walking into a divine season of what? Anybody remember? Oh, you better remember. I guess I gotta preach longer today. A divine season of favor. Come on. A divine season. Thanks, Paula. Oh, yes, that's right. A divine season of favor. That's what we're walking into. And when the prophet is saying this, there was no evidence of rain coming. And I just want to encourage you today real quickly that there may not be any evidence of favor coming to your world. There may not be a cloud in the sky and the ground is as dry as it can be. But the prophet stood up and said, rain is coming. I hear something in the spirit before I ever saw it in the natural. Oh, I don't have time to preach there today. But I want you to know that before anything ever manifests in the natural world, it is always first birthed and heard in the spirit world. So that's why the prophet can say, I hear the sound of not a trickle, but the abundance of rain. It's coming and it's on the way. And they're looking in a dry and desert, barren place, saying, where's the rain? So now we sat in this house last week and a prophetic word was released that said, we are walking into a season of divine favor. Yes. Yes. You are walking into a season of divine favor. Why? Isaiah 61, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon you. Come on, it's a season of divine favor. So I wanna encourage you today that even if you don't see the evidence of favor, get ready. Start forecasting. Start forecasting. Divine favor is coming to your life. Divine favor is coming. So, 1 Kings 18. Yeah. Back to my verse. And it says 39, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape." And they seized them and brought them down to the brook and slaughtered them there. I'm going to tell you that when the Spirit of God falls, it slaughters and destroys the spirit of Baal. Come on. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Get up. Eat and drink, for there is the sound of the rushing of rain." I want you to remember that, the rushing of rain. And Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the Mount of Carmel, and he bowed himself down to the earth, put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, "Now go out, look up toward the sea." And he went and looked up and said, "There is nothing." And he said again, "Go again," seven times. We got to get better at forecasting. We got to stop looking at the skies and looking at the condition of the land to determine what it is that God is or is not doing in our lives. Come on. I've been talking about, this morning at the online devotionals, as this storm is approaching and it was being forecasted, like yesterday, the stores are crazy. Everyone's getting their milk, eggs, and bread and all that stuff. And everyone's making sure they have salt. Why? There's not a cloud in the sky. This morning when they forecasted that it was supposed to start around 11, like I looked at that at 6 a.m. I thought, okay, we should be good for church. And then at 9, it's like starting to snow, like they had that off somewhere. But when they were forecasting it, it's like currently off the shore and it's over Indiana. And it's like, it's not even over our state yet. But there's a forecaster who's looking into what can't be seen, looking into the skies and saying, "It's coming, get yourself ready." And I just feel like the Spirit of God is saying, we're not done with this favor thing yet, because it may not look like it, and the ground might be barren, and your finances might be depleted, and your health is on the rocks, and your family's acting crazy, and your job is insecure, and the world around you has lost their natural mind. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, get ready, because I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Favor is coming to your house. So he said, "Get up, look towards the sea." And he went up and looked, and there is nothing. And he said, "Go again seven times." Do not quit. Do not quit. It is going to turn around. If it doesn't look like God has promised, look again. Look again. Look again. Check it again. See it again. And at the seventh time, he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." And here's what I want you to see. "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." And I thought about this for a second. Well, why would the rain stop him? I mean, you can use a chariot in the rain. But you remember back what he saw in the spirit before all of that happened? He said he heard the sound of the rushing. I don't know if you know what happens when it starts raining after a long, dry drought season. It's called flash flooding. It's when it's raining so hard, but the ground is so dry that it doesn't have the opportunity to absorb the water like it needs to absorb, because it's so dry that it just causes everything. And what the prophet heard is, he said, "I hear the sound of the rushing of water, an overflow, a deluge coming." So he says, "Get up. I know the cloud is small. Get up." And here's what I want you to know today. Prepare your chariot. Prepare your chariot lest the rain stop you. And in a little while, the heavens grew black with the clouds and the wind, and there was great rain. Make preparation for what you know God is about to do in your world. Don't be caught off guard. The woman who needed a miracle, and the prophet said, "Go ahead and get some jars. And as long as there's jars, the water or the oil will keep flowing." When you've reached your capacity to receive, the miracle's done. When you've reached your capacity to receive, the miracle stops. So that's what he told the king, get your chariot. Get it ready because water's coming. And if you're not ready, this thing will overtake you. Touch somebody and say, get ready for favor. Get ready for favor. So we have to get real good at forecasting the weather before we see the weather. So what have you been praying for? Because I believe it's coming up on the horizon. I believe the forecast is changing around your house. I believe your economic situation is about to turn around. I believe that unsaved loved ones are about to get a revelation of the goodness and faithfulness of God. I believe that there's going to be miracles knocking on your door. Why? Because that's what he said. Because he said, we are in a year of divine favor, a year of turnaround, a year of blessing. I hear it. I see it. I sense it. I know it. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Come on, somebody. Stop responding to the temperature of what everybody else says it's going to be, and you walk into the situation and say, I understand, I know, I see it, but there's something on the inside of me that says, this isn't it. This isn't your ending. This isn't how it's going to stop for you. God is still up to something. He's still going to turn it around. David said, I would have despaired if I thought God had given up on me, but I won't despair because I believe that I'll see the goodness and the favor of God in the land of the living. Come on. Psalms 5:12, David writes, surely the Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. I love his confidence. Surely. There's no doubt. He didn't even say, would you? Can you? He said, surely I am surrounded with the favor of God. One thing I know is God wants to bless his people. Amen. One thing I know is God wants to surround you with favor. One thing I know is that in the year of Jubilee, in the year of the favor of the Lord, debts get canceled, captives get set free. What's been lost has been recovered. What's been broken has been restored. What has left is about to be returned. Come on. Does anybody mind a little Jubilee happening in your life this year? Can anybody get excited about your situation turning around in your house, in your marriage, in your finances? Are you ready to see us, this church, walk into the second decade with it just happening beyond our wildest imagination of what God can do? Are you ready for that? Are you ready to see your nation turn around and strange and incredible things happen? Well, this is what we are forecasting. This is what we're forecasting. So let's lean in. Team, you can come. Let's lean in this direction this year. Let's not take what God has said and spoken over us in a casual way. But let's get serious about living a year of divine recovery. Of what the enemy has stolen from us. A year of freedom from mental and spiritual bondage. So today, as you consider where you are, consider your circumstance. I want to encourage you today to start forecasting. Start forecasting your future. Start forecasting, get ready. There's that saying, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, right? Get ready. Expect with anticipation that God is going to do what it is he said he would do. So let's stand to our feet. And I want to pray this over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that this will be a fresh season of God's favor in your life and in our church. And I believe that God's gonna give us favor in our families, favor at work, favor with the boss, favor with our colleagues, favor with our coworkers. I believe you're gonna open the door to new opportunities. I believe you're going to give us favor and increase and abundance in the realm of our finances. I believe that right people are coming into our life to open the doors for us that need to be open. I pray favor in the name of Jesus over your health. I pray strength and blessing over your body. Come on, that there are some things that were supposed to happen medically, but they're not gonna happen to you because the favor of God rests upon your life. There's a divine turnaround of even things that the doctors have said, that's just how it is. That's just the way it will be. I believe that the year of favor is a year of restoration, that God will restore everything that the enemy has stolen. I pray freedom from chronic pain in the name of Jesus, freedom from addiction and every force that's trying to stop us. I pray freedom from the spirit of confusion that tries to get the peace that surpasses all understanding out of our hearts. And I declare that we are experiencing a fresh season of the divine presence and manifested presence of God in this house and in this church. I thank you that as we've stepped into a second decade, I believe and I prophesy that in this decade, we will see the fulfillment of the plans and the purpose of God for this house. And I believe it. And if you receive it this morning, shout, amen.